Hello and welcome to the Saxo market call on Monday, the 7th of February, 2022. And it's a Monday, so it's always a little bit more quiet. And we ended Friday on a, I would say we were down in the futures relative to the Thursday's close, but I would say that the close was still relatively strong against what could have happened because we were really trading weak going into that US cash session. A very strong session for Amazon, delivering the largest one-day gain in market capitalization in history, was enough to pull enough of the market higher for it to not collapse. And in early European trading this morning, as you can see on the chart here on slide two, we're trading just above the 38% retracement level. If you take that high from mid-week last week, and then you take the lows from Friday, and there is a little bit of room. I think the 61.8 retracement level sits above that highs from Thursday. So if we have a positive session today, obviously that's a potential area that we could go and test. And Friday was also a day of very strong demand in cryptocurrency. So that obviously lifted our crypto basket. That was a huge overlap with the bubble stocks baskets. We know that those two baskets are quite correlated. And you had some of the recent winners, commodities, logistics, semiconductors, maybe not so much semiconductors, but logistics and commodities sector, India and defense on the flip side of that trade. Also, travel was a little bit relatively weaker on Friday. So the big question is, what happens now? I mean, we still have rumblings underneath the surface in Ukraine. I'll let you talk a little bit about that, Ole, when we can talk about oil. We also have a VIX that is above 23 on the Friday's close. So there's still a lot of nervousness expected. And then before I get to you, Ole, on slide three, we have the financial conditions. And as we talked about in our internal call, we've had an extraordinary loose financial conditions environment since basically the early part of the 1990s, so 30 years, only interrupted a couple of times during the dot-com phase, obviously the LTCM and the EM debacle in 98, and then the financial crisis and the pandemic and the euro crisis. So a few blips, but otherwise very loose financial conditions. And if this is a period that will rhyme with the 1970s, then we need extraordinarily more tightening of financial conditions, which most likely is not good for equities. So that's the situation, unfortunately. So if you're out there and if you're a Saxo client or even a non-Saxo client and you have had a lot of losses because you've had too much exposure to growth stocks, I don't think it's not over yet. I mean, you can still balance and rotate your portfolios. It's really about getting those components. I've talked endlessly about this for months in presentations and on this podcast. Get some of these things into the portfolio that can actually do well during inflationary times. It's, you know, real estate, it's logistics, semiconductors, the commodity sector, you know, travel stocks have pricing power, mega caps. So there are plenty of opportunities still, but it's about getting that right balance. And that was an awfully long intro, Ole, and sorry for that, but we need to talk about the crude oil market, because things are happening between the US and Iran, and we have that Ukraine-Russia situation. So take us through all the details in this market.
Yeah, and before I do that, Peter, I just want to rewind a little bit, because I think also you talked about what to focus on, and we had that job report surprise on Friday, much stronger than expected. Bond yields moved higher once again. 10-year Treasury notes broke higher. We're trading above 1.9%, so this 2% area is starting to come into focus, and as you mentioned, with the risk to some of these growth stocks, that if we continue to see a move up towards that 2% level, that will have an impact. We're seeing that as well with rising yields, especially also here in Europe. And just on, so finding, you mentioned the VIX, we saw the net short in the VIX contract last week drop to the lowest in almost 2 years. The VIX is one that investors or speculators love to trade from the short perspective because of the structure in the volatility market. But when we get this uncertainty where we get the front volatility starting to spike, then that trade becomes quite unprofitable. So we are seeing a slow drift towards a lower short position. So that's also indicating the market is somewhat concerned about the immediate outlook. But you mentioned oil, and it has been the go-to market or safe haven, you can call now, for the past month. while bond markets, stock markets has exhibited in this elevated amount of volatility, crude oil has been going one direction, that's higher. We'd hit the highest since 2014 on Friday. We're trading a little bit softer today, and there's a couple of things coming this week that that will attract some attention. First of all, the reason for the weakness today, I think, is twofold. The weakness is led by WTI. There was also WTI that led the rally last week due to the this winter storm they had, reaching all the way down to Texas, thereby putting some of the production facilities at risk. That has now eased, so both the gas and WTI are trading lower this morning. So that's one part. So it's just taking some of the extreme tightness out of the front end of the crude oil curve. But then we also have reports that the Iran-US nuclear negotiations are getting into a potential concluding phase. There are some speculation that we may see a deal in some shape or form. And from a Biden perspective, that is really the only low-hanging fruit that he's got available right now in order to combat these high energy prices. Because looking at gasoline price in US retail, the retail price is, what, 30% above the five-year average. So, so the only way to get that down is by adding supply to the market. And Iran is really the one country that relatively quickly can add increased supplies into the market. So we should keep an eye on those negotiations. That could be quite key for the week ahead. So now I talked for a long time, Peter, but maybe I should just go through, just mention a couple of things on slide five from the COT report, which is the one we report every week, data from the US futures exchanges with regards to speculative positions. And what we actually did find in last week's updates, which I will post today, was that the crude oil was net sold for a fourth consecutive week. So even though we've been rallying strongly, crude oil speculators have been selling into this rally. So that does indicate clearly that they're not too really want to jump onto this rally just yet. Maybe part of that is the rising in volatility that's basically reducing. If you're seeing your volatility rise across your portfolio, you need to reduce risk, and that obviously impact all markets, even the profitable ones. And just finally, we saw a massive dump in gold and silver after the FOMC meeting, and that's some of that has been clawed back, and gold is holding pretty well right now above 1800, even though yields are moving high, as I mentioned. So a long one, Peter, back to you.
Yeah, well it's there are always a little bit things to comment on, in even though it is a Monday, so it's totally fair. And I think it brings us a little bit to a different story. We're coming back to the equities here, and it's going to be a busy earnings week, that's for sure. Hundreds, I think 300 earnings reports this week out of the around 3,000 companies that we track. And today's earnings watch is the focus is on Angem, and could argue Tyson Foods, given how few companies are reporting today. And we should say that from time to time the earnings report is a little bit fault. The source we're relying on, it's not always updated, or sometimes a company changes the earnings release and it's in the last minute over weekend, and we run this report on Fridays, just so be aware of that could be some discrepancies. And then otherwise, we're looking ahead. I've highlighted a lot of different companies in red. I don't want to talk too much about the different ones, but I think tomorrow, I mean, BNP Paribas in Europe is obviously a big one, and then Ocado for the growth investors. It started as an online grocery retailer and have basically branched out and said the future growth will be their robotics division, where they're basically trying to sell their robotics warehouse technology for grocery picking and processes to other companies. And then we have Yara International, which I find interesting because they sit as one of the major players in the global fertilizer industry. And with the galloping prices on fertilizers because of the high natural gas prices. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where we take it. Wasn't there a UN FAO food price index the last week? Was it the week before that? And a new high, if I remember.
Yeah, we are pretty close to a new high for this cycle, and not far from the record high we had back in 2010. And one of the concerns as we go into this spring season is obviously the high gas prices and leading to high prices for fertilizers. And also last week's announcement from Russia that they are banning exports on fertilizer for 2 months in order to preserve domestic supplies and may ensure prices are affordable for domestic farmers. So that all just adding to some of the focus on high food costs as we head into 2022.
Yeah, so I'm very curious to see that report. And then highlight Wednesdays, we have AP Moller Maersk and DSV in the logistics, absolutely key watches there. And ADN on payments, given the massive plunge in PayPal stocks and losing of market share, because ADN has been rewarded the majority of the payments flow from eBay, which was the former parent company of PayPal. So let's see what they have in their outlook. And then we have Walt Disney, an absolute giant in the entertainment industry. Uber, one of those growth stocks. I would call Uber a bubble stock, given its valuation and still not being profitable. So I think an interesting beacon whether some of these companies can rein in costs and get quicker to a break-even level. And then on Thursday, Vestas on the green transformation, Total on energy, Siemens in industry, and ArcelorMittal on the steel industry, which is a very cyclical and important industry. And then Twitter, of course. And the other story I want to mention before we go to the macro calendar is watch the chart here to the right on slide. We're on slide six in today's slide deck, which you can always find in the description inside your podcast app. There's a little link where it says today's slide deck. If you click on that, it will open up the slide deck while we are talking. It's a very handy feature, unless of course you are driving a car, then you should just listen and you can have to imagine what we're talking about or what you see on the charts. What we're seeing here is I've put in the quarterly net profit margin, and since the fourth quarter of 2003. And what you can see here is that, you know, a week ago I actually said that, hey, we had expanding margin in the Nasdaq 100. We got further earnings, including the behemoth Amazon, and that has actually taken the Nasdaq 100 profit margin lower. And now I think one of the trends that are now being we can see in the data, but we're still not over the earnings season, is that it seems like the net profit margins are rolling over, at least for US companies, whereas the MSCI World is looking more stable, potentially given its higher weight on energy, materials, and cyclical sectors in general. And I think it fits as well with a much tighter supply chain and labor market in the US compared to elsewhere. And that's really putting upward pressure on these input costs, which we have seen in basically all the majority of the earnings releases out of the US. So that's definitely a headwind going forward for equities, and particularly US equities. Okay, Ole, I think you should take it away on the macro calendar.
Yeah, there's not, I think, a great deal to report on that, starting the week relatively calm. But I think we skipped the currency bit today. John Hardy is not joining us. He will be back in tomorrow. But just want to mention the euro dollar, because it is such a key driver for the forex market. We got a double top now at 114.85, and that's we're seeing a small drift today. And the key support there is right now is almost a full big figure lower because we had such a strong run up during the past week or so. So 113.45 is the key first key level of support there. So just to keep an eye on that. But yields in Europe are still picking higher today. We're seeing a new high here in German 10-year bond yields. So that potentially should provide some underlying support. But we'll keep an eye on Lagarde. She's speaking this afternoon, obviously after last week's shift in the sentiment. The market obviously will be clinging at every word that comes out. So just get some guidance on potential rate hikes in Europe. One of the hawks in the ECB has already talked about the need for a first hike in Q4. So we'll keep an eye on that. Consumer credit as well late tonight. But we'll look further ahead to the to data later in the week. But the earnings calendar obviously will be a key one to watch as well. So I think that's it for today. Thank you for tuning in once again. We'll be back same time again tomorrow. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.